Here now is an exclusive CVBT audio interview on an issue that impacts business and the people who do business here in the Great Central Valley.
As the economy improves, what we're told is people have their resumes ready to be stuffed in envelopes and send them out. So how do you counteract that?
Well, people are willing to send their resumes out if they haven't been happy with where they are. And if they're happy, their resumes are not in envelopes ready to go. So then the big question is, well, you know, what do you do to keep people happy and loyal to you? And the biggest thing that I have found is that people really want to know what the vision is. And by vision, you know, a lot of people have these vision and mission statements that they have all over, and they're meaningless, okay? Unless it has a real purpose, you know, what are we here to achieve? What is the difference that we're making in the world? That's what people want. And then where do we want to take this for the future? Where do we want to be, you know, a year from now? It used to be 5 years, but people don't plan 5 years ahead anymore. If you can plan a year ahead, you're doing really well. And then they want to know, and what's the values? What's the type of company? What is the value system? I mean, are we going to be a fun place to work? Are we going to be an exciting place to work? Are we going to be a creative, innovative place to work? What is it about this work environment? And so it's a combination of making sure people clearly understand what their purpose is and how it relates directly to what they do every single day, and then where the vision is for the future. People don't want to leave an organization, particularly if they see a future there, and if they can identify with the purpose and the vision. And then the values. I mean, people, often I hear over and over and over again, you know, the best thing about this place is the people that I work with. And once people make those relationships, it becomes almost like a family. And they don't want to leave their fellow workers. They might want to leave their manager, but they don't want to leave their fellow workers. And so good leaders understand that, and good leaders make it an environment that people can truly feel proud of, that they feel energized in, and that they feel they want to make a contribution.
It sounds almost like that old saying, what we have here is a failure to communicate. Is it as simple as that?
It is, in many respects. I always say communication is the foundation, and you can never over-communicate. It's all about communicate, communicate, communicate. You know, I have leaders that tell me over, well, we've told them that. And I'll say, have you told them 6 or 7 times? And what medium have you used to tell them the message? Because different people hear things in different ways. Some people, you know, you can send an email out and they'll get it. Other people need to have it presented to them. Other people need to have it as part of their performance appraisals or their performance reviews. But everybody needs it in a different way. And so you need to give the message out at least 6 times. And those people that are in marketing, they know this really well, because when they do a marketing campaign, they make sure they get the message out to the client base at least 6 or 7 times in various ways through different medium. The same holds true with your employees. Your employees are just people, and their brains work the same way as your average customer, your average person. And so you have to repeat things over and over again. The first time you say it, they'll say, yeah, okay, fine. The second time, they'll say, all right, no problem. The third time, they'll say, gee, this is like the third time I've heard this. Maybe they're serious about this. And then the fourth time, they say, you know, I really think they are serious. I better start turning around here. And then the fifth and sixth times, they say, hey, you know, have you heard this? This is what's going on, and so forth. And then they get engaged and embrace whatever the change is that you're trying to do, or whatever the vision is, the mission, whatever it is that you're trying to communicate. So it really is all about the communications, but it's consistently doing it. Clear, concise, consistent communications. That's what I always say. It's got to be those three things: clear, concise, and consistent.
Is this something that is taught in management classes, or is this something that managers learn on their own, or what?
Well, it can be taught in management classes. I know we teach it in our leadership development program. But unfortunately, a lot of times people get promoted into supervisory or leadership jobs, and they've never really had any formal leadership training. And that is where the disconnect comes in. You know, people really, if you're going to put them in a leadership job, because leadership jobs are tough. You're a shrink, you're a counselor, you're a friend, you're a manager, you're a visionary. I mean, there's a lot of components to leadership. And people need to understand what those components are and how to work in those components. One of the biggest things I find is that leaders don't know how to coach people. And that's all part of a leadership development program. So I encourage companies, you know, if you've got leaders of tomorrow, start investing in them today in training sessions. I have one company right now who is, they've identified their high potentials. And these high potentials are people that are, they don't want to lose from the organization. And we're putting together a leadership development program that's going to be a year to a year and a half in length for these high potential individuals to give them the skills that they need in order to be good leaders, to be that visionary, to be that coach, to be that friend while at the same time being a great manager, all those kinds of things, and how to communicate with people, how to engage people, how to empower them, how to enrich them. All those kinds of things are included in that leadership development. But many companies don't take the time to invest in it. I'm seeing, though, I will say, more and more companies are realizing the importance of leadership in the bottom line results. We've got statistics to show, you know, that a company that really invests in leadership can have as much as a 25 to 35% increase in revenues based upon the leadership of the particular team that they have. And it's remarkable results. And then I've got other results that show, you know, earnings per share, all of the net income, all of those things, and how when you have a good leadership team, the improvement it will have on the bottom line.
It's probably unfair to generalize, but if you could reach back into your memory vault about all the people that you have counseled over the years in regard to being better managers, do you see a thread of commonality of a problem that you have to get across and solve with just about everybody?
Yes, I would say. I say questions are your secret weapon as a leader. And what I find is a lot of leaders get into the role and they feel like they have to have all the answers and they have to be in tell mode. And the reality of the situation is if they just asked a whole bunch of questions, they would, first of all, engage their people more, empower their people more, and probably get a very, not a very different perspective, but certainly a different perspective that then they can take into play with all of the knowledge that they have and make wiser decisions. And so I say continuously, it's all about asking questions as opposed to getting into tell mode. And I tell people, it doesn't matter what your IQ is. You can be the smartest person in the world. But if you always think that you're the one that knows, has all the answers, you will never, ever have all the answers to satisfy the entire needs, particularly in this competitive world that we're in right now, the global competitiveness of the world. You need to embrace other people and other people's brains and their thinking in order to make really great decisions.
Now, your company has an interesting name. Would you tell us a little bit about it and what it is that you do?
It's Loyalty Factor, and we specialize in building employee loyalty, customer loyalty, and brand loyalty. And the premise on which I built the company is that your employee loyalty will drive your customer loyalty, which will drive your brand. If you have people that are working in your organization and they love working for your company, they're going to come across very, very well to your customer base. And that customer base is going to, they're going to perceive that. And that's going to build your brand recognition. Now, what that means is we have two divisions. We have a consulting division and then we have a training division. On the consulting side, we deal with anything that has to do with major change. It could be a merger or an acquisition, a repositioning of a company for growth, a new manager who's come into the organization and says, hey, I got to make some changes in order to take this to the next level. Or it might even be a company that they're trying to decide, should we get ready for sale or should we grow this organically, those kinds of situations. So anything that has to do with change. And we will consult with them. We go in, we work with the people primarily. I firmly believe that the answers lie within the organization. We are the coaches. We are the catalysts to ask those key questions and get people thinking beyond where they're thinking today. Because what I find is that even the best of leaders, they get so wrapped up in the day-to-day activities that they sometimes forget the bigger picture. So that's our consulting side. And then we have a whole training division. And we're very, very well known for our customer relationships training and our leadership development programs. We've been doing that for 17 years now, become very well known for the process that we use in our customer relationships and helping people to really understand themselves, feel good about themselves, and then that embraces the customer and really creates that loyalty. So that's where we're about. How did I come up with the name? I was skiing in Vail one day. I was coming down Cappuccino, that wonderful run, and I just said, I know what the name of my company is going to be. It's going to be the Loyalty Factor. And that was 17 years ago, and I've never looked back.
What on earth got you into becoming an entrepreneur? Tell us the genesis.
The genesis is I have a somewhat of an eclectic background. I was a math major in school, and then I became a technical support specialist. For a major organization. And then one day, the vice president of sales came up to me and said, I really think you should be in sales. And I said, no, I don't think that's for me. And he says, look, I'll make a deal with you. You go into sales for one quarter, and if you absolutely hate it, you can have your old job back. Well, I went into sales. I became the top salesperson for that organization, the first woman that they had hired and the top salesperson. And then I went into, I had an opportunity to go into training and train salespeople. So I did that for a number of years, and then I was recruited into marketing. And so I've been a vice president of sales, I've been a vice president of marketing, I've been the director of a corporate sales training organization that was hiring 1,000 people a month. And handled everything, the industry training, the product training, the sales training, the whole thing. And then I have a finance background. So I can look at a P&L statement and tell you, look, you're losing money because of this, this, and this. And then I can talk to a vice president of marketing and say, look, we are not differentiating ourselves in this market, and we need to look at how we're going to differentiate ourselves. And then I can look at the sales organization and say, you know, I think the techniques that we're using need to be modified so that we're more in tune with the customer base that we're working with, and then putting it all together in training. And what ended up happening is a number of friends of mine who knew my background said, you're not using all of your talents, Diane. You really need to use all your talents. You need to go out on your own and do this. And as you can imagine, that's a scary situation, you know, when you're in a big company making really, really good money. All of a sudden going out on your own can be really scary, but I chose to do it, and frankly, I've never, ever looked back. I was able to get my first client in the first month. That client, believe it or not, is still a client today. And, you know, a number of people from that client have moved to other companies, and it just grew and exponentially, and that's what's happened.
Well, Diane, you have been very generous with your time and offering your insights. What would you like to add, though, that we have not had a chance to talk about?
I would just like to encourage all leaders and managers out there. My mantra is be the absolute best that you can be and help others be the absolute best that they can be. If you do that, you will have a very successful organization that will bring in great revenues and earnings for you. But always continually grow yourself and help others to grow in the process.
This has been another exclusive CVBT audio interview. If you found this interesting and informative, please tell your friends where you heard it, and feel free to download the audio for your reference. You are tuned to CentralValleyBusinessTimes.com, the place to go for business news of the Great Central Valley.